book of Daniel. Lord's had this message on my heart for my heart. I have a CD of the book of Daniel and all the other books in the car, and I just listen to it repetitively. Listen to reading of God's Word. There's nothing more precious than reading, listening to the reading of God's Word. And as I hear it every time, He gigs my heart with, there's another thought. There's something else you've never seen before. So this morning, I rarely ever look at my watch when I preach, and I'm tempted to this morning, but I'm not going to. Lord usually lets me know when I have concluded the message, so I'm just going to follow God this morning. I want to talk to the graduates and to you too about decisions. We live in a time like older people like myself and maybe even older and middle-aged, never gone through a time like this. And our teenagers and our graduates, never. We didn't have to go through what you're going through today. Therefore, you have to make decisions that we never made before. Unfortunately, a lot of decisions were made for you. And then you have to make a decision how to react to that decision. They may or may not have had the authority to make those decisions, but they made them. And we have to deal with it. Somewhat like the story in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we find the Hebrew children. The first time Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, he killed a lot of people while he was there. His armies did. But then he brought back the most noble people, probably from Judah, about 5,000. And then from other tribes, about 7,000. And he marched them about 1,700 miles on foot from Jerusalem to Babylon. Can you imagine? The hot, the cold, and the treacherous journey. Why did he do this? We were told in Daniel chapter 1 why this happened. Let's read verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Listen to this. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury house of his God. Why did God permit, we're told, 2 Kings 24 and those vicinities in Chronicles, we're told that God had warned Israel and Judah over and over and over, turn away from your false gods and follow me. They would not. Therefore, the decision was made by God, who has done right, who is doing right, and who will do right, to let a foreign enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, come down and besiege Jerusalem and carry away all these people, among whom was Daniel. We're going to read about the three Hebrew children and many others. The first time he carried these captives away, they were the most noble and the most select group that he took. He wanted to educate them, re-educate them, and use them in his kingdom. Of course, he would make a decision how they were to be used. We don't see any protesting going on from the children of Israel because God said, go. So they went. They had no choice. And then we see about four things this morning about decisions. And the title of the message is, decisions have consequences. Every decision you make, there's a consequence to it. You go back and you say to make the right decision. At the time, you may not know. However, God does know. And if you'll be in tune with Him and follow His directions, He will help you know what decision to make. The first thing we see is decisions and the making of decisions can be simplified. How do you explain that? All the decisions in life can be really simplified. I like to take the simpler approach, don't you? I'm not a complicated person. I like simplicity. And the simplicity thing about decisions, if you make one decision, as we heard this morning, to follow God and lean on His understanding and follow Him, then every decision you make will be quite simple. Decision, when it comes time to it, is already made. I remember when I was a child, Mom and Dad never talked about it, but on Sunday morning and Sunday night and revival times, any other time, if my brother and I were breathing and didn't have a temperature, we were headed to the house of God. There was no discussion about it. It seems as though Mom and Dad had made the decision earlier on that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That way, every Sunday morning, we didn't have to hear or we're going to church. Sandra and I made that decision for our two sons. That if we're alive and kicking and able to be in the house of God, we will be. And then we made other decisions. The decisions was we will follow the Lord. So let's go through and see that this decision-making is simplified because they had a determination not to defile themselves. Look at verse 8. The decision they'd made, they had many days traveling to Jerusalem. Among the 5,000 of the Judean children, I don't know who knew what, but they had a lot of time to mingle, and no doubt Daniel had a lot of learning already. A teenage boy, no doubt, all four of them were three Hebrew children, Daniel. But verse 8 says, now the king had chosen those four boys because they had excelled in the understanding. And he said, these would be four fine young men that we can help them forget everything they've learned about God and reeducate them. He got to them too late. They already had in their heart that we made the decision. Probably their mom and dad, they just following them. And the decision they made is we won't defile us no matter what. So let's look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, but Daniel purpose in his heart. Now they had chose them and they're going to educate them in the way of the Chaldeans. And to do so, they're going to drink their wine and eat their meat, which had been offered to idols. And Daniel said, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The Lord had put in his heart, I'm not going to do anything to defile my body before my God. Decision, simple decision, but he's going to stand back. How's he going to do that? Because the king is in charge. He don't have to worry about that. Since he had made the decision, then it's up to God to help him react and do. He was going to depend on God for the solution to this problem. It's so easy. When we had our two boys, and I just gave them to God, Sandra and I dedicated them to God, and they're yours. Thank you for letting us rear them and train them and doing all we can, but Lord, they're yours. You know what that made when a problem would come up? Sickness, whatever, I would just say, Lord, they're yours. I'll do all I can, but they're yours. And I depended on him for the solution. You say, well, did it work? Not only did it work, but look at verse 9. It always works that when we make a decision and determination not to defile ourselves, then we can depend on him for the solution. Verse 9 says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So he has said, Mr. Eunuch, can we forsake what the king says? And because we're not going to fellowship, no matter what, we're not going to. Well, since they had made that determination, then they depended on God and God took over. And when they were around it, God gave him favor. God changed his heart, and the bottom line was he let them go ahead and depart from the demand that the king had made about the king's meat. Did it work out? Oh, yeah. After 10 days, they checked, and they were fairer and much more healthy than anybody else. Then at the end of the testing period, all the other people from different denominations in different countries, they all these training period in it, and they all stood before Nebuchadnezzar. And when they were standing before Nebuchadnezzar, they had divine assistance. Look at verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. How come God gave him divine assistance? One reason. They said, God, help us not to defile ourselves and stay pure and holy. One decision, and God took over. Verse 18, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in the room. As a result, Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. All he had to do was say, simple decision, we're going to follow you, Lord. And God took over. God changed the heart of a eunuch. God gave them wisdom and understanding. And it measured out 10 times better than the world. Isn't that just like God? So we see that the decision they made had a consequence that having that determination to follow God works out. And it will for you. And it will for anybody if we make that determination. Not only a decision made simple, but let's look at the discernment. The discernment that God gave them. Well, the next test was, at the end, we're going to read this in the next chapter. We're going to go fast. Look at chapter 2 and verse 17. The Lord is so good to Daniel and so good to you and I. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. See, the king had a dream. God's in charge of everything, you see. So God gave King Nebuchadnezzar a dream. Not like any other dream. He knew that it was had great meaning. So he called in all his astrologers, soothsayers, and everybody else and said, I forgot my dream, but since you're soothsayers and astrologers, you tell me my dream. And the interpretation, they said, well, you tell us the dream, we'll interpret it for you. He said, I don't trust you. So he is going to kill them, everyone. What good are soothsayers, diviners, if they can't tell a dream that I had? But Daniel heard about it, and Daniel said, don't be so hasty. See, since he had served God and made the decision to follow him, then this decision was that he had determination and that God had given him discernment. It's a step process, you see. When you determine your heart not to defile yourself, God takes over and he helps you and he gives you discernment. And then the king, the decree was overturned because Daniel said, if you'll give us a chance, God knows what your dream was. He ought to. He gave it. So they had a prayer meeting, him and the three Hebrew children, and God showed him the dream and the interpretation. He goes before the king and tells the king. Therefore, and we don't have time to go through that great big dream, but I just want to let you know that in the midst of trial and persecution, that God will help them, and God, and all they said was, God, we desire mercy. God has plenty of mercy. And if we make the right decision at the time, we need his mercy, because Daniel had put himself in the position that says, God will show me the dream. That's faith. That's trust. And then not only for him, but he saved the life of all those other people. So he told the king the dream. And now the decision, let's see what it says in verse 18, chapter 2, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. Verse 19, then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. What did he do? He blessed the God of heaven. Could Daniel have known what the dream was? No. But once he knew what the dream was, God said, this is interpretation of the dream. And remember the story. It was all about, he's the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar is. Now let's look at the response. And let's look at the decision of a king that he made to acknowledge God. After he found out that there was a God in heaven, he heard and he knew a God in heaven. Who else could tell you what you dreamed and the interpretation of it except God through his servant Daniel? Listen what King Nebuchadnezzar said. And the decision, this is the decision he made in verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets. Seeing that, could have revealed this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. See how God is elevating Daniel? How come he did all that? One reason, he made a determination, a simple decision. I'm going to serve God. Regardless of what the king says, regardless of what the consequences are. Because the decision that has a consequence is when you put yourself in God's hand and trust him on all occasions, he takes care of all the problems. Now he's elevated to governor of all the land. Then in verse 49, he also requested his three friends be given special provisions. Well, let's look at the next thing. There is deliverance from man's decrees. You would think that Nebuchadnezzar's already said, there is a God in heaven, he's your God. He made the decision, I know he's God. Well, the next thing we find him doing is making this great statue of gold and having everyone bow down before it. Wait a minute. I thought he had already said there is a God in heaven. Yeah. See, he is defaulting on that decision and going back to his own ways. A lot of people proclaim with their mouth, but their heart's far from it. Nebuchadnezzar has made this great statue of gold and demanded everyone fall down. Let's look at that. The decision now has come to the three Hebrew boys. They're in the picture in chapter 3, verse 16. It had been pointed out that the music played and everybody bowed, but there was three of those Hebrew boys back there that didn't pay a bit of attention to the decree. How come? They'd made the decision a long time ago before the music played, before the statue was held up, and he said, fall down and worship the statue. And then made a decision, we can't worship anybody but God. Did they have to make a new decision? Will we bend? Will we bow? No. A simple decision had been made that we're not going to bow. We're not going to defile ourselves. So now it's pointed out to them, what are they going to do? Well, look at verse 16, chapter 3. They said unto the king, we are not careful to answer thee, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set. And as a result, the decree was overturned. Remember the story, you got the strongest men to throw these Hebrew boys in there after he heated up the furnace seven times hotter, and the men throwing the men got burned up, and the king went down to the mouth of the furnace with his other leaders and said, wait a minute, how many we throw in? Three. I see them. I see somebody else moving around. Looks like the Son of God. So he hollered at those three boys, come forth and come hither. The decision and the decree of man is overturned by the divine providence of the holy God. When we make a decision that we're going to follow him, God is so good. The decision to acknowledge God now, the second time by the king. Remember, he'd already made the decision. Your God is the only God. Yet he goes and makes a statue and says, this is God. Proclaiming with their mouth, but their heart's far from it. Look at chapter 3, verse 28. How Nebuchadnezzar, after he knows These boys came out, not a hair singed, no smoke on them. Only God could do that. Listen to what he said, verse 28, chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree, he's good at that, making decrees, that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. It looks like this king is well on his way to getting his heart right, but God knows he's far from it. Words don't matter. We can say all the time, I'm going to follow God. Many people do. And then the devil hears you say that maybe. Maybe you set in your heart and the devil don't know what you're thinking, what you're praying secretly. But he sees your actions. So he puts all these things in front of you. But faithfully, so far, God has and will deliver. Let's look now at a dangerous departure from the things you have seen and heard. Nebuchadnezzar has seen God answer the interpretation of a dream and even repeat the dream word for word that he had. And he said, there's no other God but him. The second thing, he's seen these three Hebrew boys and the Lord delivered from that fiery furnace, and he's made another great decision. There is no God but him. Let's look at we're talking about decisions and consequences. He is going to depart far from what he's already said two times. Many people do. Let's understand and see what happens when we depart. In chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is doing the talk, and he's writing this after the fact of what happens. Let's go down hurriedly. And he has another dream. And this dream is a large tree and a tree trunk. As usual, magicians, astrologers, soothsayers, Chaldeans can't interpret the dream, although he tells them what it is. Then he remembers. Funny, after you always remember, if the world can't help and I can't help, then we'll go to God. So he says, well, old Daniel, he even told me what the dream was when I'd forgotten and the interpretation, and I know that his God is able to give him the interpretation. And of course, Daniel did. And he said, thy, O king, this dream's been about you. Daniel interprets it. Let's look at the details plainly stated in verse 27, chapter 4. After he tells the dream interpretation, and he says, it's about you, and since you wouldn't believe, God's going to do something for you or to you. But here's a warning. Verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by shewing mercy to the poor, if it may be hathen of thy tranquility. And you would think now that Nebuchadnezzar, after he had seen two times that there is a God in heaven, you would think that surely he's going to turn to this God that he knows. Let's look at the dangers when you depart from the knowledge of God. Many people do. Unfortunately, many secular colleges in America, I didn't know it was going this way, but God told me to go this way. People are raised in church, and they go to secular college, and the professors ungodly, many of them, brainwash children, and they know in their hearts that there is a God, and they depart. God's already given Nebuchadnezzar two warnings, and now this is the third. And Daniel says, O king, turn from thy sins. Let's look at verse 28 of chapter 4. Look what happens when there is a denial of God's word. He knew there was a God. He said there was a God. And now he had been warned, don't you depart from what you already know. But he did. He denied it. Verse 28 says, All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the king of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. You departed from truth that you knew, and therefore your kingdom." Why? Because you forsook what you knew and wouldn't let it sink into your heart. And you were warned three times. "And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feather and his nails like bird claws. Lastly, I want to look at the doctrine of God's grace. You would think, and sometimes it don't pay to think, but you would think that since Nebuchadnezzar had been warned mightily three times and made the decision verbally that I'll serve God, and yet he goes up and stands, "I'm the one that done all this. God had nothing to do with it." And so now he's out eating grass. Why is he doing that? The Bible's very clear on it. We're going to read that. Look at the divine doctrine of God's grace in verse 34. "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes to heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doeth I? At the same time, my reason returning to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, my brightness returning to me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose words are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abate." It took him three times. And can you imagine out there the king that God had given the great kingdom of Babylon to rule over most inhabited part of the earth? Now he's out there as an oxen eating grass. Why? Because he denied God's word. And it would have been fitting, it seems, if God just left him out there after all he had experienced. But we see the divine presence of God's amazing grace. Think of your life and mine. Who are we? David says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" We've all failed and come short. We've sat in the house of God from the time most of us we were born. We've listened. We've heard. May have never been lectured to too much, but you watched other people. The decisions they made, whether it came out good or to the bad. Why? Because decisions have consequences. Now I would implore you this morning to make one decision, a simple one. I will honor God. I won't defile myself. I won't forsake his word. Though hardships come, he will make a way. The examples of Daniel, the three Hebrew children. And we're children of the Most High too. They were in a foreign land. God has blessed us in America. I know we got problems, but we have a mighty God. His divine grace is sufficient for every need you'll ever face. And the one thing you've got to do is a simple thing. I'm yours, God. Troubles will come. Decisions will have to be made. But I'm making this one ahead of time. I'm going to honor you. Not to find myself with strong drink, with anything that would hurt. I'm not going to follow the device of the devil. And even though others will try to tempt me and cause me to stray, I'll honor you. Don't know how and what will become of it, but I know you will be in charge of that if I give myself to you. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed, altars open? You may be here this morning. Decisions, what we're going to do in the future. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. It's a reasonable service, Paul said. Altars open if you come to piano, organ, whatever God puts on your heart. We have a mighty God. We don't know the future, but God does. We're in his future. And all we have to do is determine our heart. I'll honor you. And he'll help us honor him. He'll solve the problems for us. He did for Daniel. He did three Hebrew children. He will for you. He loves us. Whatever your need is this morning, if you're lost, God will save you. If you have troubles and trials, bring it to him. He cares for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your message that you have sent to us this morning. From your word, help us, Father, understand and know that you're God. We cannot, we must not ever deny what we have heard and seen in your precious word. You've been good to us. We love you. God, I know there's problems and difficulties. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But the song we sang this morning, I'll follow you. You'll get us through it. You'll help us, Father, in everything that we face. If our decision is that simple decision, I'll follow you, submit myself to you, regardless of any consequences, because decisions will have consequences for the good, for the better. We love you and we praise you. We lift your name up to most holy God. Thank you for this occasion. These precious graduates have worked hard. You know their future. I pray, Father, that not only they, but we will just stay at your feet, ever learning, ever come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a God in heaven that loves us, that directs us, that sustains us. We're going to follow you. In Jesus' name, for your sake, we pray. Thanksgiving. Amen.